yesterday, I got this letter from a student in San Francisco. with a story of a tree which survived for many years. This is very interesting story, so first of all I would like to read that story. Okay. Tree grows in Hiroshima. That is the title. We are printing the following letter from Koji Yamamoto of Osaka, Japan, from the Journal of Arboriculture. Journal of Arboriculture, October 1986 issue. Because we think it deserves a wider audience. The people who make a quick visit to Hiroshima see only the atom bomb dome and Peace Memorial Park. Those with more time go to hospital and nursing home for victims of the bomb and the site of the old army hospital in Motomachi. The site of the old army hospital is on the embankment of the Ota River. There is an enoki Chinese nettle tree near the monument at the site of the old hostel. It was struck during the bombing and broke off near the roots as if it was splitting. It has no branches or leaves, but it began to put out buds at the beginning of May 1985. There are over 10 just above the earth, with another one about a meter above the ground. The small buds are about 3 centimeters long. A notice board in front of the tree says, "The atom bomb turned even the innocent enoki Chinese nettle tree into an ugly thing. It has continued to survive until today. The poor little enoki has known the strength and value of life. We who live in Motomachi, that is a district of the town, who live in Motomachi have a duty to protect this tree." Motomachi Primary School Children's Association. The children of this primary school have carefully protected the tree. After hearing the tree's story 5 or 6 years ago from an old man who has been living in the area since World War II, the school children have been taking care of it. A typhoon hit the city in August 1984. I don't know, this is a little bit funny, but this is script, you know. It says up and next until, I don't know. Maybe something missed. Up until then, the tree was 15 meters tall, but it was broken off by the typhoon, and only 3 meters remain now. Tadahiki Yamano, who calls himself a tree surgeon, was called in from Osaka. He is 84 years old and is said to have revived nearly 900 old and famous trees. Yamano touched the enoki, the Chinese middle tree. He can tell whether a tree is alive or dead just by feeding it. The tree retained only the bracing roots at the center. The surrounding roots had all disappeared, but Yamano said he could revive it. He dug deeply around the roots, changed the earth, spread preservatives, and injected nutritious solutions. Yamano left after saying that it will put out buds without fail. As he promised, the tree put out buds. Yamano says trees knows the hearts of people. If they are loved, they keep on living. Why is it that trees in cities wither and die? That's our story. Okay. So nettle tree, Chinese nettle tree called enoki, grew at the near the monument of old army hospital. For many years, I think the end of the World War II was over. You remember in 1945, and for almost about 40 years, that tree anyway survived. That tree was struck attacked by the, you know, typhoon, and it was split in two anyway, and it was broken in half, so almost 3 meters tall. But still, it survived. Now, through the eyes. Anyway, what I want to tell you is there is an inconceivable life this tree has, but not only the tree, human life, rocks, birds, air. All living beings have this kind of inconceivable universal cosmic life. But usually, if you see the tree with our naked eyes, naked consciousness, we immediately we try to evaluate, judge tree's life, rock's life, and the bird's life, human life, you know, by the common the value of the human value, usual human values. It is dead, or it's still alive. We judge. Like human brains, you know, we always say, if your brain stops, if your heart stops, and then we say that is a death. But I don't know. I don't know if it is correct or not. So I think this is still, even though we judge, here is a death, but I don't know that death we have understood is real death or not. Behind the death, behind the idea of death, behind the idea of life, there is still something great life, cosmic life, so-called. Which is inconceivable or wondrous. So from this inconceivable universal life, I think life and death, which we have evaluated, are almost the same. It's not different. Even though you said it is death, it's not real death. It's life. Just see, this tree gives us good example anyway. For many, many 40 years, it's dead, actually. By 1985, it has a bud. In Buddhism we say vipassana practice. There is a practice of shamatha and vipassana. Vipassana is translated as the observation or insight. I think the human beings, if you are human beings, the human beings has to take responsibility for having that great wisdom enough to see inconceivable life, instead of always being tossed away by just idea of life or death we have judged in terms of usual common sense. Of course it is important, but we should try to realize there is something inconceivable beyond the idea of life and death we have believed. Okay? This is our responsibility. That's why Buddhism, there is a practice so-called shamatha vipassana. Shamatha means stop. Stop means the tranquility, stillness. And vipassana is observation, we say, observation closely, regard. I think vipassana usually two meaning. One is vipassana, what you can experience through your body and mind. Usually in Buddhism we call worldly experience, worldly truth. Worldly truth. The other one is the other meaning of the vipassana is that you have to participate directly in inconceivable life. That is not insight. That is not experience of insight. No. It is not observation. If you say observation or insight, you always see something objectively. Do you understand? Even For instance, I mentioned obviously that book, you know, Beyond the Boredom Anxiety, Boredom and Anxiety. He mentions about the flow experience. But what is a flow experience? If you experience named flow experience, it is already experience of seeing objectively by your consciousness, you know. But an important point is, if you experience flow experience, I think pure nature of flow experience, in other words, you have to participate very directly, okay, in flow experience itself before your consciousness is present with it. Before that. That is vipassana. Vipassana, we say. Vipassana is, anyway, you have to have a direct participation in that inconceivable life. Okay? Because tree has this kind of life. Birds, airs, whole universe, anyway. I think the vipassana is always try to have a certain means to experience vipassana. You know, the consciously we have a lot of means to reach to reach a certain goal. Okay, it is also important the practice for us, but it is not final goal. Final goal of vipassana is your life must be exactly merging with anywhere inconceivable life, you know, with great realization, okay? By realization of, you know, excuse me, with your great realization. For instance, Dogen Zenji mentions about Zazen, sitting meditation, and quoting one of the koan between Hyakujo and Basso Zen Master, talking about Zazen. The story was that Basso Zen Master sit in Zazen, and his teacher passed by him, and the teacher asked him, "What are you doing?" And Basso Zen Master says, "I am sitting in Zazen." And then teacher said, "For what?" He says, "I want to be Buddha." And then the teacher picked up, you know, tile and started to polish it to make a mirror. And then Basso says, "What are you doing?" And then the teacher says, "I am polishing the tile and make it the mirror." And then the Basso says, "It's impossible to make a tile a mirror." And then the teacher says, "What about your Zazen? You buy your Zazen? Is it possible for you to become Buddha?" This is a whole story, okay? But this is through the usual sense of experience, okay? Of Zazen, okay? Of religious practice, okay? No matter how long you practice, you never realize Buddha or enlightenment, etc., totally. Always there is a separation there. You know, ordinary people and Buddhas, eternity and not eternity. Always there is a separation. Because we try to understand, try to experience, try to know, is already you separate the world. But before you separate you and from the world, well, there is something inconceivable, so-called cosmic life, you can say, universal consciousness, whatever you call. There is something. That's where you live. Whoever you are. But Dogen Zenji mentions finally, commenting on this story, so finally he says, don't be in a hurry to judge these stories. But you should remember, this is really possible for us to make a tile to be mirror. Because according to this example, tree, Chinese narrow tree, according to our judgment, tree is dead. But actually it's not dead, it's alive. So where is the idea of, where is the idea of aliveness and death? How aliveness, death come together and working together for 40 years? Where is it? By your idea, by your realization? No. Where is it? That is a power which the tree has. What's part of the tree? That power is possessed. Can't you find it? Inside of the tree or outside the tree? Anyway, wherever you evaluate the life of the Chinese narrow tree, but anyway, beyond the idea of the life and death of this tree, there is something inconceivable world which supporting making this tree survive. I don't know how. Where is it? What is the place? If you see the place or something which idea of life or death we have had come together and working together beyond ideas, what is it? But even though we don't know, it is there, and also someday, sometimes these trees shows anyway evidence. So in terms of our judgment evaluations, anyway, you can listen to these stories, and then that's impossible. Can't you make a tile to mirror? It's impossible. For us. But there is something where tile and mirror works together. Your consciousness doesn't really accept, but it is true. This tree mentions about this. Practice of vipassana. Why do you want to have a practice of vipassana or shamatha? Samatha means a stop. Where do you stop? Do you want to stop duality? Do you want to stop beyond the duality? Or do you want to stop where? between life and death, or something more than life and death. Whatever you say, it doesn't. You cannot find the place where you should exactly stop, stick fast, which make your life stable and calm, still. Samatha is tranquility. When you stop in the duality, you never make your mind calm. You have to stop exactly. You have to stop your car exactly right in front of the intersections. Then you can see the whole situation. What is the intersection? Is what? Beyond the idea of life and death, you have judged. That is, we don't know exactly. That's why we say inconceivable. But that something inconceivable is not something separate from us, because our life is supported by this, day by day. So why don't you stop there? Where? That is, we say, day to day, life, everydayness. So every day we have to take care of it. If you don't take care of it, maybe even this Chinese nettle trees would have died. So every day we have to take care of the tree, change the soil, and inject something, you know, fertilize, give a fertilizer, so water it. Every day we have to do. If you don't, maybe it die. So that is our practice. That is the purpose of the personal practice, okay? If you sit down Zazen and you don't believe how wonderful Zazen is, you don't believe it. But anyway, ancestors, Buddhas mentions about Zazen anyway, which make you stop exactly in the truth which all sentient beings are supported, uphold by this inconceivable power energy anyway. If so, this is a Zazen. Why don't you sit down Zazen anyway? You have to come to stop in the truth of Zazen, where tile and mirror are merging each other naturally beyond your ideas. This is Zazen. So, how long? I don't know. That's all right. Every day, forever. Don't rush. But don't be slow. Don't be neutral. Moment after moment, you have to completely make your whole life, you know, manifest totally. That's all we can do. Every moment, whoever you are, this is a great universal opportunity is open to us. Day to day life. When you want to sit down in Zazen, this is a great opportunity for you to manifest yourself simply, totally. Whatever you judge your life. So Buddha mentioned, that's why ancestors and Buddhas mentions this is a great practice for us. So please do it, please do it. But we are always crying. So that's why Buddha said there is a compassionate gate for forever, given by Buddhas and ancestors. Because there are many individuals who cry, who you know, complaining and screaming always. I think we try to bring this something inconceivable life forth, okay? Bring forth, please bring forth inconceivable life anyway, and attend it. Believe or not, whether you believe it or not, anyway, you try to do it because it is true what you live, your life is supported by. So you bring it forth day by day and attend it. This is, well, how can I bring it? What is the opportunity you can bring it forth? That is opportunity of zazen, opportunity of washing of face, opportunity of chanting zazen every day, and then attend it with wholeheartedly, sincere, true heart. That is a unique way for human beings to realize the great place where life and death, and life and death both work together beyond our understanding. Then from this point of view, we try to take care of the trees and nature and the skies and your life and others and the world. Do you have a question? You know, when I was in Japan before I left, I think one of the Japanese biologists mentions about the seed of a lotus flower. Do you know the seed of lotus flower? He made the experiment of putting that seed of lotus flower, which was 2,000 years old. Can't you believe? 2,000 years old of lotus flower seed grows. But if you don't take care of it, probably it remains as a seed without having any opportunity to make it a flower. So life is something more than you believe.